The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is the Farm Bill, which, of course, is getting closer to the finish line. It began back in 2012, and we've been working closely throughout that process from the first bill that we passed in 2012 to the one that the Senate passed last year. And as a member of the Senate Ag Committee, I've been actively engaged in trying to make improvements to the final Farm Bill, including the disaster title, the conservation title, the commodity title, and the forestry title. So we've had a lot of involvement with this bill. Many of the policies that are included in it are things that we were able to get incorporated into the bill, but there are still some serious concerns that I have about aspects of it, particularly the lack of reform and the commodity title of the bill. I think that's a real missed opportunity. And right now it looks like what's holding it up may be the dairy title. I think that's going to be the probably biggest obstacle to reaching a final agreement. But I hope that that can happen. And, you know, whether it's something I'm able to support in the end or not, that we will get a bill on the floor of the House and the Senate sometime soon and at least get some certainty for our farmers and ranchers out there who are already starting to look at making decisions for the 2014 crop year. And in more immediately even than that is to get assistance to those who lost livestock during the devastating storm that we had back in October. Those are things, obviously, that that we need to why we need to get a bill through the process as quickly as possible.
Regarding the Farm Bill, what are there provisions that would kill the bill for you in the Farm Bill? What would cause you to not vote for it? Are there any of those issues that you're concerned about?
You know, I would say probably the biggest one. The reason I voted against it when it came out of the Senate Ag Committee is it just lacked essential reforms in the commodity title of the bill. And frankly, it's gotten worse. The commodity title has gotten worse as it's moved through the process. And by that, I mean it relies on high fixed target prices set in statute by Congress, and which is very far afield from the market-oriented reforms that I had hoped would be included in the commodity title of the bill. We need to be looking at the future of agriculture, not the past. And this really, using high fixed target prices that Congress puts in place in law, takes us back to farm policy that we saw way back in the 1980s. And I had really hoped that this farm bill was going to be focused on reforms. And we tried to offer some of those, have those included in the Senate version of the bill. But they've kind of gone back to the old framework, and in my view, that's really unfortunate. So lack of essential reforms in the commodity title of the bill will be something I'll be paying close attention to. Obviously, the conservation title, that they get the sod saver provisions made nationwide, that they don't carve out, you know, regional exemptions from that. Good, strong forestry title, which we've been very involved with, and then, of course, the disaster title, which Senator Baucus and I got into the 2008 Farm Bill. It has expired, and the reason that we need to get this Farm Bill done is to get that program reauthorized. The Livestock Indemnity Program is the one that would provide direct assistance to the livestock producers in western South Dakota who were so hard hit by the October storm. So, you know, those, there are some things in here that are good that we've been very involved with and in trying to get included in the bill. But, you know, fundamentally, farm bills tend to be largely about the future of agriculture, the policies that are going to shape its future, and the commodity title of the bill really drives that. And in my view, this goes to an outdated, sort of antiquated structure and framework for the commodity title of the bill, which doesn't take into consideration the need for us to really take farm policy in a direction where our farmers are producing not for the government, not making decisions predicated upon policies that the government puts in place, but what the market would suggest. And those are the signals that we want to see our farmers following. And of course, that also saves a lot of money. When you use market-oriented reforms in a farm bill, you find significant level of savings. And I think we're going to see a bill come out of the conference committee that is significantly smaller in terms of the reforms, but also smaller in terms of the savings that we could have achieved for the American taxpayer.
A timeline for it?
I think it's, you know, it looks like possibly This could, if they could get this done, get it on the floor next week, that would be great, because the following week Congress is not in session. Then we get into the end of January and the State of the Union, a lot of other stuff going on. I would really like to see them wrap this up, at least the conference committee wrap this up this week, and then be able to put it on the floor of the House and the Senate next week. We'll see if that's an attainable timeline, but it seems, at least, if they can put to bed this dairy title, and there is a big conflict over the policy implications of the dairy title and the bill, if they can get that resolved, that I think it's realistic to think that we could get this on the bill on the floor by next week.
Senator, if no one else is going to jump in, one more question again, Charles Ray, on conservation and the farm bill. Are there enough provisions, do you think, to make sure that South Dakota maintains habitat for pheasants? There are those who say that the current version of the farm bill is leading to overplanting of several crops that's pushing that pheasant habitat out.
Well, I think there are some really good provisions in the farm bill that in the conservation title of the farm bill that will provide a good foundation for wildlife production, as well as just good conservation values as well. And I mentioned earlier the sod saver language, which we got included in there, needs to stay in there, but it needs to be applied on a nationwide basis. The last time this was done, there were all kinds of waivers that were put in place, and that an opt-out was included for states, and it just applied to certain regions of the country, and it just doesn't work that way. So the sod saver language in the bill, I think, will be very good for the ultimate goal, which is to make sure that we have good policies in place to promote conservation, but also very good in terms of the contribution that makes toward wildlife production, and especially pheasants. And then I think linking conservation compliance to crop insurance premium assistance is also something that will be a really good policy in the long run. You know, our farmers and our ranchers are the best stewards of the land, but we do need to have common sense policies that ensure sound conservation practices are going to continue to be implemented. And so I'm hopeful, at least, that those two provisions, which are currently, or at least we're in the, it's hard to know exactly what's in the bill because they're playing it very close to the vest, but we're trying to determine whether or not those provisions are in the final conservation title of the bill. But those are things that we work to have included, and things that I think will be very important to the issue of pheasant populations and wildlife production in South Dakota.